Welcome to episode 4 of Love 101, where we explore the ever-changing world of dating and relationships. It's Candy and Potter. We've been married over a decade, but we are very much still figuring it out. And then, of course, exploring the single life with the help of some of our friends and listeners. Brand new episode every single Friday. And in this episode, they say by 2050, human-on-robot sex will be more popular than human-on-human sex.
Oh, I'm so happy we are going to talk about this because I
haven't had enough awkward conversations today.
I have something I want to say about this story.
Okay. They did 8 million tests to figure out what is the best opening line for online dating.
This is good to know. It's good info to know, even if you're not online dating.
Tell you what that is. How soon should you merge your finances when you get into a relationship? Right away or wait as long as possible, like we did? And also, weddings can be fun and romantic, but shouldn't cause airport evacuations. That's in the news this week.
Wait, can we talk about fubbing?
And what? What's fubbing?
Fubbing. Okay, so they did a study just released a couple hours ago, I think, about fubbing. And it's basically, it's defined as when your partner picks up their cell phone when you are together and ignores you in some way. So,
like you're doing right now?
Fub you. I am working right now. So,
oh, are you reading the story off your phone?
Okay. These are the stories.
I was like, you can't see this, but she's holding her phone right now. She's ignoring not only me, but all of you as well.
I just took a selfie and I tweeted that because this is just ridiculous. No, so these are the statements that they used in this
study. Wait, what is fubbing? Is it like phone snubbing?
Yeah, phone snubbing. It's partner phone snubbing. So PP fubbing. Got it?
Okay.
Right. I know. It's an annoying word. That's why I knew you would love this story and be annoyed right out of the gate. So anyway, this is what they asked. Listen to these statements and think about your own relationship. And are these statements true? My partner places his or her cell phone where they can see it when we are together.
Yeah, that's true.
My partner keeps his or her cell phone in their hand when he or she is with me.
No. Not usually. By the way, most of these, we probably have the same answer because you're almost as big a geek as I am.
My partner glances at his or her cell phone when they're talking to me.
Oh, yeah. If it lights up?
If there is.
By the way, I'm answering for both of us. You know you do all this stuff, right?
I have been silent, so you cannot say.
You're not going to self-incriminate?
This is the last one, and this is the one that I think is very telling. If there is a lull in our conversation, my partner will check his or her cell phone. And it's just, I mean, it's rude. Obviously, it's rude. We all know that it's rude. But it's kind of like, you are totally dying. You're not interested at all. Let me scroll through my stuff.
See, but I think it's like, I think as long as you're on the same page, it's okay. You know?
Yeah.
You know, for example, when we first wake up in the morning, you know, we might say, hey, quick snuggle, a kiss or something like that. And then we both grab our phones and we just want to see what's going on. And that's just what we do, and we're both okay with it. At least I think we are.
Well, we both work in the media industry, and so, like, for me, because, you know, I work on a news station, I roll over, check my news. Is this world still okay? What's
right.
going on?
Anything melt down overnight?
Yeah, and I need to kind of check some things to be up on to date on stuff.
But yeah.
What they did find, too, is 26% of people say fubbing has caused a conflict in their relationship. And I want to read one more of these statistics just so I can say the word fubbing again so Potter will roll his eyes. 36% of people reported feeling depressed after they were fubbed by their partner.
Well, I'll say this too.
Well, I don't think you're fubbing right if your partner is depressed.
I think that I can see how it's a huge problem. And I think the reason Candy and I specifically are more so comfortable with it is because for the last 15 years, we have worked together.
Yeah.
Done a show together on the radio, pretty much the same hours and everything like that. And now, though, for the first time, we don't work together. And now when we do get together, we're like, oh, my God, we have so much stuff to tell each other. But before, we were together so often that if we went out to eat, yeah, we were probably on our phones because we didn't have anything else to tell each other.
That's true. We probably were that couple in restaurants where people were like, oh, that's so sad. They have nothing to talk about anymore.
We are sad.
That's a Baylor University study, by the way. If anyone wants to look up fubbing, that's what it is from.
Now that we are, you know, working separate jobs and we're actually, you know, we may end up in jobs where we literally have totally opposite schedules where I start work an hour before she finishes work, in which case we'll never see each other.
I know. Yay.
Awake until the weekend, in which case then we'll probably just gab for 4 hours to catch up on everything.
We are really pathetic. We basically do a radio show over breakfast. So it doesn't matter if there's microphones in front of our faces or not. It would be us moons over Miami and we'd be like, so did you hear this?
That's how the show started, really. Yeah.
It is it.
So the best way to start a conversation on a dating app. Too many people, you know, whether it's Tinder or OkCupid or any of them, start off with, hey, or what's up?
This is just the first line that you give, or is this straight how you should do your profile and
no,
all
no,
that
this
stuff?
Is the first line. Like, okay. You connected with somebody, you like each other, now you have the opportunity to chat.
What's your opener?
Yeah. And so there is a dating app called Hinge,
mm-hmm.
and it's the one where they connect you to matches via Facebook, your friends and friends of friends. That's your universe,
right.
So you can sort of get a recommendation, I guess. So what they did was they had their copywriters and data analysts write up over 100 original openers, varying in subject matter, structure, length, and then they asked their users to try these out, and they did 8 million impressions worth of in-app testing to
wow.
do this. The best opening messages. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. The best opening messages was two truths and a lie. Ready, set, go. That was the best one. And then you tell them two things about you that are true and one that's not.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little game.
It's
a little game.
I like it.
Second
it's like a really dumb BuzzFeed article that I would have clicked.
Well, that's the point. You would have clicked it. Second, Sunday priorities, exercise, sleep, or aggressive mimosas.
Mm-hmm.
Third, best discovery, Netflix or avocados.
Mm.
So those were the top three. Now, they found that women are 40% more likely to respond to messages about food.
Well, yeah, we all have an opinion on food. And if I think you're going to feed me, I already kind of like you more.
As opposed to men, who are 98% more likely to respond to a message that is what?
About sex in some way?
Not specifically.
About a physical appearance?
Assertive. Messages that are assertive. Like,
yeah.
Drink soon, free this week.
Right.
Guys are like, yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm ready. Let's do this. Let's go right now. So there you go. If you want to start off with an online dating conversation, the two truths and a lie.
Two truths and a lie.
Is the way to go, which I like.
You know what? I would probably do really elaborate scenarios for that answer, though. I mean, I would maybe like two paragraphs. I mean, you got to get the two truths and a lie very super elaborate and then reply back with, oh, I just told you everything that was true. What? Huh? who am I talking to?
Yeah, but once you start typing that on your phone, I guess you're not always on your phone to do it, but once you start typing that with your thumbs, you'd be like, I'm not being elaborate.
Nah, whatever, voice to text.
No,
is fine.
You'd be like, I was on TV once, I've been skydiving, and I have a birthmark in a place the sun don't shine. Two truths and a lie. Go.
Yeah.
Maybe something like that. So, by the way, there's a college that is offering a new class. You know, this podcast is called Love 101, and Northwestern University is offering a new class they announced this week called Sex 101. It is for incoming freshmen and also the general public. It is free, and it is available online. Huh? Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
At Northwestern University.
They don't need Sex 101. They're doing it plenty at that university.
Right, but what they're finding is incoming freshmen who tend to be sexually active don't really have a good understanding. You think about all those myths that you hear when you're, you know, a kid. I know this is a podcast and we get as graphic as we want, but, you know, you may be listening to this in a car with somebody else, or
yeah.
You may be listening to it at a desk, or, you know, whatever it might be. But, you know, methods for protection
mm-hmm.
that people use that aren't necessarily from a store or a doctor. Like,
right.
Oh, if I do this, no yeah. one will ever get pregnant.
Right.
There's a lot of that stuff. And, you know, what they found with
it's a homeopathic condom that I've just created. And
what they found is just because people are having sex doesn't mean they know about it.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's, I mean, but is somebody signing up for this course as taking it for credit?
No. They just posted it online.
All right. Okay. That's okay.
And, you know, they talk about drinking and menstrual cycles and pregnancy and erectile dysfunction and all sorts of stuff. I went to the University of Washington here in Seattle, where we do the podcast from, and I took a class called Psychology 210, and it was the psychology of human sexuality.
It's a good class.
I think they just kind of put it in the psychology department. Because mm-hmm. it was really just a class about human sexuality.
Right.
This class took place in the biggest classroom on the campus, 750 students
mm-hmm.
per class.
Yep.
Not only that, but then people would invite their friends certain weeks during the class, sometimes because, hey, this week we're going to watch porn. You should come.
Uh-huh.
And when there's 750 people in an auditorium, it's not like the teacher's like, hey.
I don't know you.
You're not in my class. That can't be right. But also, because sometimes it's because they were going to see something good. Other times you'd say, hey, we're going to watch porn this week, and you'd invite your buddies, and then you'd, because you knew it was actually senior citizen porn week.
Yeah.
In the sex class.
I have been to that class 3 times, and I've never attended the University of Washington. So I just want to let you know, Potter nailed it, because that is totally true. It's a great class.
Yeah. Well, one of your best friends from childhood and I were in the class at the same time.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, I think we weren't dating yet, but I think you came when I was taking the class, and it was interesting. And there was, you know, there was somebody that had come and spoke to the class that had a full on sex change, and they, you know, asked questions, and it was just, you know, very, very open. So,
well, you know, cool. And I do hope that this new class at Northwestern University discusses maybe drinking and date rape and things that can happen to somebody incoming on a college campus who may not be expecting it with that new lifestyle change and newfound responsibility that they have. So
you want like a scared straight?
I would like it to be discussed. Like, hey, if you go and get rip-roaring drunk at a frat house and you pass out, you know, yes, there's a chance you could be sexually assaulted. You know, you need to pay attention. You need to take some steps to protect yourself. So I think if those things are discussed, that's definitely a benefit for a class like that.
So new experts now say that by the year 2050, people having sex with robots will be more popular than people having sex with people. Are you ready for this?
Sex with a robot? No, not so much. But, you know, I will say, like, I was going to figure out a way to say this. But, like, textiles are getting to the point where some stuff kind of feels like human skin. So, I mean, I think, like when you look at like the different like rubber masks and stuff that people wear around Halloween and things, like, it's getting really elaborate. So in some blow up dolls and like the weird things that you see some people that are already into.
Right.
So having a robot function about it isn't too far off out of the realm of imagination, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
So here's, you know, I'm definitely a little weirded out by this idea, but I will, you know, to play devil's advocate. I mean, if you think about this, you know, first of all, there could be a lot of really positive things with this. Okay. You're not going to spread disease if you're just having sex with your robot.
Well, you have to clean your robot.
People that have serious anger or, you know, horrible issues or mental issues may not go out and attack somebody else to have sex if they can just have sex with the robot at home.
Yeah, maybe.
The robot won't get pregnant. You know, they eventually, maybe in 500 years. But I don't think this...
You have little robot babies.
This century, I don't think you're going to be able to get a robot pregnant. And to sit there and say, oh, that is horrific. And then to use, you know, battery-operated sex toys is kind of contradictory anyway.
Yeah, but it seems like it'd be very expensive. It seems like it would be something that if this would become commonplace in, what did it say, 2050 or whenever?
By 2050, they think that's when robot sex will overtake human-human sex. There'll be steps before that.
Right. But let's say if this is commonplace, then everyone has their sex robot in the closet, which seems weird. But you have your sex robot in the closet, whatever. The fetish then would turn into having sex with a real person. So I don't think it would change at all. I think you would just have people that would send me like, hey, you know what's kind of freaky? I had to look on the new Craigslist and I had to find it, but I found it somewhere. I'm going to have sex with an actual human being.
Oh, you're saying that'll be novel?
Yeah, it'll be novel. So, trafficking won't go anywhere.
I thought you were saying that like people would have sex with a robot and then eventually they'd be like, now I need a person, so I'm going to go like sexually attack somebody.
I mean, if that's all you've ever known, that's going to be a whole nother generation of people. But if it's going to be something along the lines of this will then eradicate prostitution and sex trafficking and like you have all these grand plans for it, no, it won't, because the new high price fetish will be having sex with an actual person.
Well, and a big part of prostitution is having somebody on your arm earlier in the night too, for a lot of people.
Well, no, that's an escort. That's different. That's not a prostitute.
It's not always different.
That is different.
It's not always different. You're saying,
Potter,
you're saying all. Wait, you're telling me that in the Venn diagram, the prostitute circle and the escort circle do not overlap at all?
No, there's not a lot of overlapping because you strippers, prostitutes, escorts, you have a little bit of a different of
I agree.
View of the sex trade. It's not all a Pretty Woman movie.
But some people have more than one job. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, those lines do get blurred. I'll admit that. Yes, that's true. Those lines do get blurred. But if you're talking about three separate jobs here, a prostitute, that is purely a business transaction. An escort is somebody who you're talking about. A stripper is somebody who you're supposed to watch. Those three lines can get a little blurred depending on the girl.
There are,
or a guy.
There are people.
I'm equal opportunity.
There are people that say that, you know, a sex robot would have so much stigma. So, you know, first of all, you'd have to buy it.
And you wouldn't take it out. You'd buy it online.
And then you'd keep it.
No one would know.
Well, and then you'd keep it at home and it'd be hidden. And then maybe you would use it sometimes. And you know, I think, though, the thing to remember is it wasn't that long ago that the idea of meeting somebody on the internet was considered like crazy town.
Yeah.
You know, my brother was internet dating way before it was acceptable. Like when it was just chat rooms, there was no,
right.
I don't think there were any dating apps or websites, obviously no apps, but websites
no, there
or
wasn't
anything like
yet.
That.
Mm-mm.
You know, and he met a girl and decided to move from Seattle to LA to be with her. And we're like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, and he did it intelligently. He moved down there. He got his own place. He got a job before he got there. It wasn't like, I'm going to go marry this girl that I've never met. Bye.
Right.
You know, people do that too. So I could see how this would just kind of become common.
How can you? Now, it wouldn't be common. I think it's not like you're on the Jetsons and Rosie, your robot, is your maid.
No, she's not sexy.
And then I can't think of another female robot. Sorry. And then you have you have another female sex robot in your closet. Like, well, I have to go and, you know, have relations with my mistress robot while my wife is right here. Like, it was a very strange world that you're thinking would exist.
Well, I would think, too, though, there would be robots that would be, you know, could be both genders or change genders.
Oh, God. Then what if they break down? You have to call the sex robot guy?
Well, but think about it. You know, like when you...
And then you have that van in your driveway.
Some couples share like a Sonicare toothbrush,
mm-hmm.
and they just change the head out when they brush because those are things that are expensive.
So you just change out the sex organs?
Yeah.
No, what about like the abs would be different? The structure would be different? I mean, if you're building the ideal sex robot, let's
be
honest.
Maybe. But... You could find one that was, well, I don't know, maybe you'd, well, okay, it would probably need to be.
That would be horrific if you and I were living together and, you know.
Sharing
like,
a sex robot.
Sharing a sex robot. I'd be like, well, no, it's my turn with him tonight. So hang on a second. Let me adjust the pecs, move out the organ. Like, no. No,
yeah,
no.
But I'd be like, nah, you're going to take too long. I'll go first.
Yeah, see? It's awful. And like the heat is going to be an issue there because it would just be, it seems like it'd be very cold, obviously, and not personal at all.
I'm obviously going to be a lot older than I am now by the year 2050, but if this was affordable, and let's say, you know, you've passed on or whatever, and I'm...
Why do I have to die?
In
all scenarios.
You do in this scenario.
I'm the one who dies.
So, you know, I'm a senior citizen at that point, and I can't get a woman, or mm-hmm. at least not a woman that I'm attracted to, maybe, or whatever it might be. Yeah, I would consider a sex robot over a prostitute, I think, at that point.
Boy.
I think the stigma is going to go away, that's all.
Yeah, I think the stigma will continue to be there, and you're going to be the creeper geriatric guy who has a sex robot sitting on his lap in a wheelchair, and it's going to be strange.
No, I think it'll still be in your own home. I don't think you'll take them on dates. That's where you're getting into, you know, that's where you need to go lay down on the couch and talk to somebody.
That's where you're getting weird. Well, I just want to take her out and show her a nice time on the town before I take her home. I want her to make her feel special.
But what they say is the more human it is, the more creepy it is. One of the things actually this article said was that... We should just rename this podcast Sex Robot.
Serious.
Sex Robot. One of the things the article said was that they probably won't be really human because that will actually weird people out.
Yeah.
Because the closer, it's the same thing with animation, the closer it gets to a real person, the more creeped out we are.
Yeah, artificial intelligence. The robots could take over at any time.
Not just from an intelligence standpoint, just from a visual standpoint. For example, I'm trying to think of a, you know, like, what's a recent movie, like an animated movie with beloved characters, you know, like, oh, the Minions. Oh, they're so cute. We love the Minions.
Yeah.
But then you do Tom Hanks in the Polar Express.
No.
Super creepy.
I cannot watch the Polar Express because Tom Hanks should not be drawn that way, and they shouldn't be super creepy that they look like real people.
But that's just it.
You're either a real person or you're not a real person.
And that's just it. As drawings or robots approach looking like real people, real people get freaked out by that. So that's why they're saying it'll always probably be somewhat robotic. It won't be like, oh, which one of you is the real woman? I can't tell.
That's very strange. It's like, oh, very Stepford Wife.
So
dudes are the only people that are going to do this. Ladies, we don't have to worry about this.
You're the ones that do it now.
No.
Yeah.
No. This is going to be a guy thing.
No. Yeah. Way more women. No. No. Way more women use electronic devices in their sex life than men.
Yeah, but there isn't a whole man attached to it. That is the creepy part. The reason why a guy wants that is because they can't make a real human connection. That is the blow-up doll guy. This is the evolution of the blow-up doll.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, creepy.
Except hopefully it would be warmer.
Yeah, see? This is where we get creepy. All right, let's stop talking about the sex robots because it's creeping me out.
All right, when do you merge your finances when you get into
when you need to save up for a sex
relationship.
Robot.
Exactly, especially if you're going to share one like your Sonicare.
That is really bad.
Swap out the heads.
Such a horrible analogy. I mean, it works. So, like, you're not bad for thinking of the analogy because the analogy works. I just... God.
So... they just did a new study, and they found that millennials are actually merging finances sooner than any generation before them. They found that half of millennials are merging finances before marriage. In fact, they find that a lot of millennials are getting a joint checking account sometimes even before they move in together.
Why?
Which is crazy to me.
Why would you do that?
Because sometimes you might have a pet or something like that. So I was trying to remember for Candy and I.
Wait, you have a pet, so you think that's a good reason to get a joint checking account?
Yeah, if I'm stupid.
No, that's not a good reason.
I also remember being I was taking a class about relationships or sociology, psychology, one of those. And everybody in the room is under 25. And I was, 20 or something like that. And they said, hey, how many people are married or have ever been married? Nobody raised their hand. And how many of you have lived with somebody? Put your hand up. And I was the only one that didn't put my hand up.
Mm-hmm.
And then how many of you are still living with those people? And everybody but one person put their hand down.
Yep.
So they just like moved in. Oh, didn't work out. Moved out. There are people who move in to save money on cable. Those are the people who get checking accounts because they decided to get a pet, which was a stupid decision in the first place. I'm just trying to show you.
Oh, like boyfriend, girlfriend wise or boyfriend, boyfriend or girlfriend, girlfriend. Yeah, we get it.
Yeah, I'm just showing you. Yes, there are people that do stupid things like get a pet together before they're really necessarily committed in a relationship. For Candy and I mean, we've been married over a decade. We just fully merged our finances. What, 2 years ago? 3 years ago, maybe?
About 2 years ago. Yeah.
We bought a house. We were engaged, but we weren't married yet. We bought a house together. And at that point, I assume that's when we opened a joint checking account, put our stuff in, put in the same amount, and then paid the bills out of that. But then there just didn't seem to be a reason to join anything else up.
There was nothing.
And we had friends tell us that, you're not really in a relationship if you have not fully infused your whole lives or whatever it was. And I'm like, what does it matter?
There's no difference. There's nothing. There's no difference of anything. Do we want to buy this? Yeah. Okay. 50-50. All right. If it was a big purchase, like a piece of furniture or something.
And
like
it comes
that,
out of a joint account.
Yeah.
And everything else, we never fought about money.
Nope.
Eventually, we realized once you have kids and you have no extra money and everything's getting paid for anyway, it was like, well, you might as well put this together now.
Yeah. It's not going anywhere except for the 10 humans.
And here we are. So, all right. A couple more things before we wrap up. Weddings can be fun.
We spent a lot of time on sex robots, so we gotta move on. You want to talk about weddings real quick?
Sex robots. Yeah, weddings can be fun and romantic, but they should not cause airport evacuations. But this one did. Apparently, some people made a wedding favor that was designed to look like TNT.
These people are dumb. They should not have gotten married. You know why? They're going to procreate.
I don't think it's that bad. Basically, the initials of the couple were T and T. And one of these is talking now. Shush.
You playing the ad. Yeah. So, I mean, it was like Tina and Tom or whatever.
I don't know if you could hear that on the podcast. It started playing in the background. Yeah, Tina and Tom or whatever. So they made these little jars and they called it TNT, and that was their wedding favor. And then people took them home.
Yeah, but the problem about it is that it was a water bottle filled with bath crystals with a little encasement on top that looked like a wax cover with a fuse. So it looked like a little stick of dynamite.
So they were flying. Somebody found one in checked baggage at the Denver airport, not even a carry-on. And they evacuated the airport for 20 minutes while bomb specialists cleared the items. And you could sit there and go, oh, well, it was only... you know, evacuated for 20 minutes. But how long do you think it takes everybody to get back in there?
And it was everybody. Like, you dummy. And maybe they shouldn't have given it to the person who was traveling on the planes. Yeah, fine. But you don't give that as a wedding favor when you know people are coming in from out of town and have to go home. Like, what are you thinking? Why would you do that?
They were just like, we're TNT.
Are we cute? We're so cute. No, you put it on the cake or something like that. You don't hand it to people to walk around with it.
You're, I was just thinking of like bad wedding favor ideas. You know, your cousin whose name starts with a K just married a guy who started with K.
Yeah.
What if they did, you know, K and K's candles and they put KKK on everything?
No, see, that would be bad.
Wedding favor. That's
right.
What I'm saying.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. All right. Thank you so much for listening to Love 101. New episodes every single Friday.
I'm just trying to think of other bad wedding favors. Hey, you get custom sheets, the KKK wedding. There you go.
Send us any comments you have. If you want to send them privately, you can message us on Facebook. If you want to post on the wall, that's great too. You can go to facebook.com/CandyAnnPotter, CandyAnnPotter.
Oh my God, I just thought about that. That's their monogram, KKK.
Wait, their last name starts with a K too?
Yeah.
Jeez.